We welcome you again to another episode of Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. In this program, we look at important people and places and events associated with the history of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Brent Topp, and I'm your host. I'm the chair of the Department of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University. Grateful to have with me as my guest today Professor Larry Porter, Emeritus Professor of Church History and Doctrine at BYU, and one of the great minds and great historians of the particularly of the New York period of the history of the church. And Larry, last time we talked about the restoration of the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood, and the setting the stage for the organization of the church. I think before we get to that important April 6th meeting, we need to introduce the Whitmer family, because it is at their home where the church is going to be organized. And I think it's important that our listeners know who the Whitmers are and what their relationship is to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery, the second elder of the church.
The Whitmer family is of German extraction. Peter Whitmer Sr. is really Peter Whitmer the third, as I recall. They come out of Germany and locate among the Pennsylvania German. And they're there in 1809 in the York-Harrisburg area when they conclude that they'll go north. And that they'll locate in western New York in what becomes Seneca County, early on Washington County. They went up the Susquehanna, and they traveled overland at some juncture and went into Seneca County. We don't know much about their early property holdings because Father Whitmer picks up on the first 25 acres in 1819 and then adds another 25 acres in 1822 and 23 and 27. He's adding them in fourths and has 100 acres of land there. He's doing very well. In that situation, he was a member of the German Reformed Church. Reverend Diedrich Quillers was their pastor, and he was pastor for them at Christ Church at Berrytown, or Fayette, as you would know it today, the hamlet of Fayette. He also presided at Zion's Church, which was just a mile and a half south of the Whitmers when that was built, a log construction, and later became the Jerusalem Church when the old one burned down in 1835 after the Whitmers had gone. But you go down there and the old cemetery is filled with old German names and no chapel. Everything's gone, even the brick replacement. Reverend Diedrich Willers admitted them to communion and gave them instruction to Johannes Whitmer. Mm-hmm. Reverend Willers' papers in the Seneca Falls Historical Society and in the Waterloo Library and Historical Society and in Cornell University Special Collection tell a very interesting story as he tries to defend the faith and goes over and attempts to rest Father Whitmer away from the church, which is soon to be formed, and warns his fellow ministers down in York, Pennsylvania, look out for the Mormonites, and tries to get them in their national publication to warn everyone abroad in the whole Union against them. He has a boycott going very early on. As Joseph Smith arrived there in the latter part of May or early June, Mother Whitmer is going to be a strong supporter of the prophet Joseph Smith. She had an experience with an angel. The angel appears to have been Moroni, and that Oliver and Joseph, as they had gone up to the farm to complete their translation, which was almost finished down on the Susquehanna, they met a man in a brown attire and a knapsack on his back, and with Joseph's instigation, said, offer him a ride, David, and David does, and he said, in effect, no thanks, I'm on my way to Cumorah, which was new to them. But David said, judging from my mother's description, who met him out by the barn. Mary Musselman Whitmer also had the opportunity of becoming a witness to the plates.
Yeah. You're listening to Past Impressions. We're visiting with Professor Larry Porter about the events leading up to the organization of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on April 6th. And so, Larry, you're introducing us to the Whitmer family. Why don't you share with our listeners some of those events right up to the April 6th meeting date?
When they arrived, they said that there was much interest locally, and many people came and visited with them. And they were able to not only share the gospel with the Whitmers, but also the Schotts or Schutz, and also the Jolly family. The Jolly family lived nearby. Elizabeth Jolly, Harriet Jolly, John Jolly, Vincent Jolly, William Jolly were just up at the crossroads, just a few hundred yards away of the Miller and Onst Road. And at that point was what was called Jollytown. And there was the homes that formed a little gathering there. They indicated that they also filed for the copyright with Richard Ray Lansing of Utica, New York. They also had the opportunity of calling witnesses. The three witnesses. David said, I was plowing in my field, and along came Joseph and Oliver with a revelation. And he hitched his horse to the fence and went out with them. He said that they went out toward the confluence of two highways, and there are only two highways there, and that's a two-dirt road. And one is the Miller Road and one is the Onks Road, which means that they went east. And David said there was a pasture there, and there was a log in the pasture. And they, in that secluded situation, the angel Moroni came and showed them the artifacts that are described in section 17 of your Doctrine and Covenant. And they also finished the translation of the Book of Mormon and took that over and made arrangements with Grandin to publish the same. And when it came out for the public on March 26th, Joseph had come back up the line and was there with Joseph Knight. Joseph Knight said, we waited several days to get copies bound. He was anxious to get some copies. He also said twice that as they were going up, Joseph talked about the necessity of organizing a church, but he didn't say when.
Okay.
And suddenly, it's when. The prophet said, now is the hour. And they went over to Fayette and there organized a church on April 6th, 1830.
What was the legal requirement? We've talked a little bit about having to have six organizing members. What do we know about the law or the corporate regulations for establishing such a church?
The incorporation of a religious society, David Whitmer said that there were some requirements that they were very, very anxious to participate in under the law, that the law would allow them to do certain things. He said, the reason why we met on that day was this. The world had been telling us that we were not legally organized as a church, and we had no right to officiate in the ordinances of marriage, hold church property, etc., and that we should organize according to the laws of the land. On that account, we met at my father's house in Fayette, New York, on April 6, 1830, to attend to the matter of organizing according to law. Joseph Smith, in Section 20, makes sure that there is an assertion right in verse 1, saying that we organize not only according to the laws of God, but we organize according to the laws of the land. The law of the land was an 1813 law, which was drawn up by the New York Legislature Assembly. And that defined the incorporation of a religious society and called for each county to supervise that through their county clerk. It required that 2 weeks in advance of the actual incorporation that they make public notice of this. And the public notice would have had to have been posted, and then they met at the place where they were wont to assemble for their daily, for their devotion.
Do we have any historical record of once the public notice was made of any opposition or those that tried to prevent the organization of the church?
We do, to the degree that Reverend Diedrich Willers is the opposing force. And he said that to his brethren down in York, as he notified them of a lookout for the Mormonites, he said, the congregations of the German Reformed Church and Lutheran Church in this area have all been warned. And then he called for them to pass that boycott along in their national magazine. He seems to be the primary voice, but obviously there would be other dissenters in the— Reverend Willers took care of some 8 congregations over a period of years in Seneca Falls, at Fayette, on down into Tompkins County. He had a wide range of experience. But he said all of the people around here in the German Reformed and Lutheran Church have been notified, and said there are already 100 copies of the Book of Mormon floating. And about 100 converts have come into their church.
Interesting.
That was what he was attacking in June of 1830.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. We're talking today with Professor Larry Porter about the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on April 6, 1830. Larry, let's go back and talk more about some of those key events that led up to that April 6th organization meeting, and particularly the involvement of the Whitmer family in this monumental day.
I need to go back in time 1 year, and that's June of 1829 when everything is happening. And they're just about to take the manuscript over to be printed by E.B. Grant of the Book of Mormon. Not knowing exactly how to proceed, they knew that they had the apostolic appointment of Peter, James, and John. They had the Melchizedek priesthood, but they needed to know what the Lord's pleasure was in regard to organization. So, again, a reminder, this is June 1829. The two of them went into the chamber or the bedroom of Father Whitmer, and there they knelt down, and there they received the voice of the Lord. There was no physical appearance. The word of the Lord came to us in the chamber, commanding us that we should ordain Oliver Cowdery, that I should ordain Oliver Cowdery to be an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, and that he also should ordain me to the same office, and then to ordain others, as it should be made known unto us from time to time. We were, however, commanded to defer this our ordination until such time as it should be practicable for us to have our brethren who had been or who should be baptized assembled together, when we must have their sanction to our thus proceeding to ordain each other, and have them decide by vote whether they were willing to accept us or not. So they're waiting out on the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to them. And you have Section 20 of the Doctrine and Covenants is a conglomerate revelation. Mm-hmm. Some is given before, some is given during, and some is given after. And all of it is combined on June 9th and read to the people, and by unanimous vote they accept the Constitution of the or Articles and Covenants of the Church at the June 9th, 1830, first conference of the Church. But the Lord designated the day on which it should take place, on April 6, 1830, right in that first verse. And Joseph Smith said that we had made known to our brethren that we had received a commandment. This means that they had received the commandment beforehand to organize the church, and accordingly we met together for that purpose at the house of Mr. Peter Whitmer, being six in number, on Tuesday, the 6th day of April, A.D. 1830. The people assembled. They came in from roundabout. David Whitmer said, on the 6th of April, 1830, six elders were at Peter Whitmer's. David's father's two rooms were filled with members, which would be the living room, kitchen, and everyday all-purpose room, plus the chamber of the bedroom. About 20 from Colesville, 15 from Manchester, and 20 from Father Whitmer's, and about 50 members and six elders were present. That's about 56 people.
Huh.
And in another account said 40 to 50 people. But there are numbers who are hanging in at the doors and the windows and listening.
As I say, any of our listeners that have been in that Whitmer home know that 56 people, that would pack them in there like sardines in that little home. What do we know of what occurred on that day? What did the historical records tell us about what that organization meeting entailed?
The organizational meeting entailed, by law, if they're really trying to incorporate, they really went through the motion. This 1813 law, I had traced by a New York attorney who was also the area representative and a stake president and all the rest. His name was George Mortimer. And he had tried to find it himself in 1959, spent a summer looking for the incorporation record, and had come out and had visited not only Seneca County, but even went to Albany. I was very interested in finding that incorporation record, so I went to the county and was given carte blanche, county clerk Marsden. Said, have at the vault and just put everything back. And then he made arrangements for me to meet with the undersheriff. It's a two-shire county, just in case there was something down at Ovid in the south of the county. And he gave me Book B of Articles of Incorporation of Religious Societies. It's just not there. The entry is not made. And court was in session down at Ovid at that time, and whether that played a part in the 9 months period, transferring records back and forth every 6 months, I don't know. But we haven't found those incorporation records. What they say is you need a couple of moderators, which would be Joseph and Oliver, and you need members as well. And those six organizers were Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Hiram Smith, Peter Whitmer Jr., Samuel H. Smith, and David Whitmer. There are variations of that, but that's the one that Joseph Knight Jr. said was the true recording from Oliver Cowdery's mouth.
So there were 50-plus people there, but those six were those that were making the church legal as an organization. We're listening to Professor Larry Porter on the Mormon Channel on the program Past Impressions. We're talking about the April 6, 1830 organization meeting where the church is officially and legally established. Larry, what happens on that monumental day? What takes place there in the Whitmer home at that organization meeting?
Joseph Knight said that Joseph Smith had them all kneel down and pray together. And then the prophet himself gives us probably the best chronology of what occurred on that occasion. And let me share a verse. "Having opened the meeting by solemn prayer to our Heavenly Father, we proceeded according to a previous commandment to call on our brethren to know whether they accepted us as their teachers in the things of the kingdom of God, and whether they were satisfied that we should proceed and be organized as a church according to the commandment which we had received." They're still fulfilling the law if they wish to apply, because male members were to raise their hand and say, "Yes, we accept Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery as our moderators and as our leaders." "To these several propositions, they consented by unanimous vote. I then laid my hands upon Oliver Cowdery and ordained him an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." This title is obviously later inserted because it was the Church of Christ in the day that it was organized. "After which he ordained me also to the office of an elder in the church. We then took bread and blessed it and brake it with them, also wine and blessed it and drank it with them. We then laid our hands on each individual member of the church present that they might receive the Holy Ghost and confirm members of the Church of Christ."
That had previously been baptized.
Everyone, those who were confirmed, had all previously been baptized. There is a question of whether everyone was rebaptized on that day, and there's some conjecture in regard to that. I think that I would probably run into more instances of people saying, "I was baptized on that day." I think they're going back to Joseph and Oliver's Aaronic priesthood ability to baptize. And that there are some who have been baptized beforehand who may not have been baptized on the day of organization.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
I think that perhaps not everyone on that was rebaptized on that day. "The Holy Ghost was poured out upon us to a great degree. Some prophesied whilst we all praised the Lord and rejoiced exceedingly. Whilst yet together I received the following commandment," which is DNC 21. DNC 21 is a beauty because it appears in the Joseph Smith papers in their Revelations and Translations, the first volume which came out. They've taken the Book of Commandments that went down to be printed, and they found the early manuscript. And on page 28 of that is the, I share just the line, "A revelation to Joseph the Seer by way of commandment to the church, given at Fayette, Seneca County, State of New York." This is really interesting. Some people have wondered whether the church really was established on April 6th at Fayette, and some have conjectured that it was over at Manchester. But this revelation, which was given on the occasion, identifying Joseph Smith as prophet, seer, and translator, and that his word is the spoken word, it is identified as being Fayette, Seneca County, State of New York.
Interesting.
April 6th is the date.
That's great.
"Joseph said, we now proceeded to call out and ordain some others of the brethren to different offices of the priesthood according to the Spirit manifest unto us. And after a happy time spent in witnessing and feeling for ourselves the powers and blessings of the Holy Ghost through the grace of God bestowed upon us, we dismissed with a pleasing knowledge that we were now individually members and acknowledged of God, the Church of Jesus Christ."
Wow, that's a wonderful declaration. And what do we know about the church after that organization? So there on April 6th, the Church of Christ is established, but it's not like we see it today necessarily with wards and stakes and branches. What is taking place in the church at this time?
The nature of the Church of Christ, which was established, and similarities with the church today. What was received by them with organization and instruction at that time, and what persists today? The first vision marked a new beginning of revelation of God to man. They learned that God is a person. God is our Father. We are in His image. This all has to develop over a period of time. I'm talking organization to 1844 in Nauvoo. The nature of the Godhead. God is a God of goodness, of love and mercy and forgiveness, and not a vindictive God. God's relationship to man, we're the same kind of being. Man was also in the beginning with God. Man is a child of God. Man is eternal. The plan of salvation, the degrees of glory. Man is free. Man's life is purposeful. Man is capable of eternal progression. Men are brothers. We believe in continuous revelation, prophets, seers, revelators, and following the Lord's anointed. The necessity of baptism by immersion. We must accept the ordinances of baptism and the receipt of the Holy Ghost by which we are born again. We are to put off the natural man and become sanctified through the atonement of Jesus Christ. The sacrament is a means of renewing our covenant, remission of sins. The Savior is atoned for individual sins on condition of repentance. We look toward, and they did in that day, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. At temples, receiving the higher ordinances of the temple necessary for salvation in the kingdom of God. Vicarious work for the dead, baptism for the dead, endowments for the living and the dead, priesthood offices called by authority, and authority was very important to the Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Restorationists and Universalists that came in that day. They were looking for authority. Missionary work, the doctrine of a celestial marriage, a perpetuation of the family, the eternal priesthood, and never-varying doctrines of salvation have remained the same. Projected doctrines of eternal perspective not only of the future but of the past and a premortal existence. Expansion of the Scriptures, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and elements of the Pearl of Great Price, which will come into being in toto in 1851 under Franklin D. Richards over in England. Prayer, the second most repeated injunction in the Scriptures, is to pray or to seek and to ask God. The first, if you're wondering, is repentance, the command found most often. Yeah. When you look at Section 20, the Articles and Covenants of the Church, you soon see the priesthood offices. You see the sacramental ordinances discussed. They're talking about conferences every 3 months. They soon get over that. But initially, June, September, January, roughly 3 months, involved between conferences, those first three conferences in New York at the Whitmer Farm. These early elements of the church that were introduced at that time and subsequently by Joseph Smith during his lifetime are still very much in evidence and available to us as saints in the kingdom of God today.
What a privilege it's been to talk with Professor Larry Porter today as we've talked about the organization of the Church of Christ, later to be known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and how that from that little small farmhouse in Fayette, New York, has gone forth to hundreds of countries throughout the world with millions of members. Truly, the gospel is going forth. And so, Professor Porter, thank you for sharing with us some of the interesting events associated with that organization. And we appreciate so much the research that you have done to help us to know that early period of church history.
Thank you, brother. It's been a pleasure.
Join us again on Past Impressions as we examine the history of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and learn more about people, places, and significant events that shape the church and shape our personal lives. I'm Brent Topp, your host, and look forward to having you join us again in a future episode.